Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob, Bree, and Aki. How are you three doing?
Pretty good.
Hello.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. Oh, wait. We have a button for that.
Yay.
Listen here, fuck snort.
Yeah, that one too, I guess. How's everyone doing? How was everyone's week?
Good, 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 good.
Aki, you start. Yeah, start us off. How was your week?
I had an eye doctor's appointment. Good news. No damage to my eyes or anything. Yeah, yeah, and they still work. And
GG.
My eye lens has repaired itself a little, which is great. So I'm ever so slightly less sensitive to light. Not that that really changes anything, because it's still super sensitive. But, you know, still a little bit. And that's always a good sign. Other than that, I haven't really done anything but review games, to be honest. I finished a Gundam anime that I hate. But
then why did you finish it?
Because me and two friends of mine are watching through literally every Gundam. Because one of them haven't seen any of them, so we've just been working our way through the whole thing. And we just got to like the two series, sadly, right in a row that I absolutely despise with every fiber of my fucking being. But one of them is now done, and now I'm working my way through the other one, which makes me want to die. But other than that, it's fine.
You just hate yourself, pretty much.
Well, obviously. I mean, nice. I'm here, aren't I?
True. Jacob, how was your week?
I mean, it's been okay.
Well, good talk.
Not much. You know, just... You know, went to work. I saw a movie, which we'll talk about.
Was it Deadpool 3?
No.
Then you have failed.
No, I mean, maybe, but it's video game related, so, you know, we get to talk about it during the news.
Hey, we can talk about the Deadpool game, too. I don't care.
That's old, and Joe abhors talking about old games.
Deadpool the game is worth a lot of money these days.
I like the game. I've played it on two different accounts, and I think I've played it for my own twice. Fucking, I really like that game, actually.
I'm looking up how much holy shit, $150 someone wants for it.
Jesus.
Yeah, but what is it sold for?
I don't know, I'm scrolling down to sold listings. 90, 100, 90, 80, 110, 100, 95. Yeah, it's got some value to it right now.
Nice. I'll keep a hold of my disc then for a while longer.
That's the beauty of games getting delisted. So.
Yeah.
Bree, how was your week?
It was pretty okay. I was on Sunday, so I already talked about, you know, what I did over the weekend, which was make sausage and see Deadpool. I've just been playing games since then. I don't know.
Nice.
Joe, what have you been up to?
I've done jack shit. I tripped going up the steps and I hurt my wrist, so I haven't been able to play much stuff.
Is it a serious injury or?
No, it's just soreness. It's nothing bad.
Okay. Joe now has to bend over if he wants anything done with his penis.
Hold on. We have a button for this. Yeah, I think everyone hit that button.
The best part is like I'm sitting here watching the Twitch stream and I just like watched you die a little bit on the inside.
Yeah. That's what happens. That's what happens when we let you talk. Should we get to news?
Sure.
The rumor mill is a buzz once again as a, quote, big Xbox game is allegedly heading the PS5, and it will be announced next week at Gamescom. Most of the speculation seems to be around Forza Horizon 5. What are your thoughts?
I'm fine with this. I don't like the concept of exclusives, so... Yeah, the more games that get ported over from one console maker to the other, the better. Hopefully it'll start going the other way, too. And yeah, then we can all just enjoy games. Like,
if Xbox is going to do this, why can't Sony reciprocate? Like, they don't have to give us the biggest games at launch, but, like, throw us the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or Horizon, nice. Or the Horizon games. That'd be awesome, too. Or Last of Us, something.
See, I could see if they don't want to give us Last of Us, because that's, like, a huge title for them.
Yeah, but they'll make more money, because all the Xbox people, they ain't going to buy it anywhere the fuck else anyway, so...
yes. I mean, what, Joe? Was MLB The Show not enough?
No.
I mean, that's not Sony's decision. You're not Joe. Shut up, honey. We all know that wasn't Sony's decision.
True.
That was very much MLB saying, hey, you're going to release this on multiple consoles or you're not going to have the license anymore. And Sony's like, well, fuck. All right. Here we go.
Well, because MLB also didn't want to keep making RBI anymore.
Yeah, because it sucked.
The only good part of that game was the home run derby.
Oh, well. But yeah, what do you think? Do you think this is true? Do you think we're going to see something new heading over to PlayStation and or Switch? Do you think it might be Forza? Could it be something else?
I think it might be something else. I don't know what, but I don't know. Forza Horizon seems like, I don't know, too big.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know.
I figured
Forza
that.
Forza Horizon is like one of their top franchises at this point. Like, that's one of their pillars.
Yeah, I'm thinking at it from a business perspective, because ain't none of the Sony people going to buy it on an Xbox that they don't have. Again, this is just a way for Microsoft to make some money, and, you know, with all their layoffs and the big purchases they've made, they kind of need the funds, so I wouldn't be shocked if it was a Forza game. What about
something like Starfield?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking either Starfield or Flight Sim.
I could see Starfield, but I just don't know how much money that would make them, and I don't know what the sales are for Flight Sim at all. I don't know how well that style of game even does, so...
I don't know either.
Yeah. What if it's Master Chief Collection?
That would be crazy. Yeah, that seems
unlikely.
Unlikely, but you know what? I just feel like tossing it out there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It'll be next week will be interesting. Gamescom is going to be full of news and surprises, I'm sure. So we'll talk about that next week. But more news. We were talking about Microsoft shutting studios down. Tango Gameworks has been saved. PUBG publisher Krafton acquired the studio and the Hi-Fi Rush IP from Microsoft. Studio is no longer shutting down.
Good stuff. Nice.
I worry about what that means for the future, because PUBG only makes PUBG, doesn't it?
I thought they've put out other games.
Have they?
Let me look it up quick.
I have no idea. The only thing I know that is theirs is PUBG, and I'm like, eh?
Oh, they also did the Callisto Protocol, and...
Oh, they did? Shit.
Yeah.
Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. Yeah. Or at least those are the things that are on Xbox. So.
Okay. Fair then. All right. Awesome. But hopefully they'll be able to make some really good games over there then.
No, they got the IP for Hi-Fi Rush. So I would assume they're going to look into Hi-Fi Rush too.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Electric Boogaloo. It
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. PlayStation Plus game catalog for August was announced. Really, really good lineup of games that they're getting for the extra catalog. The Witcher 3.
Nice.
Wild Hearts.
Okay.
Okay.
Cult of the Lamb.
All very right. nice.
Ride 5.
Okay.
People who are into that. Watch yeah. Dogs 2.
Okay. That's not bad.
Naruto to Boruto Shinobi Striker.
That exists.
And then here's 4 quick ones just for you, Aki. Sword Art Online, Last Recollection, Sword Art Online, Alicization Lycoris, Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet, and Sword Art Online, Hollow Realization.
Jesus Christ.
All 4 of them joining the game catalog.
That's cool.
People gonna be happy. That's like 500 hours worth of games at least right there. Just those 4. Jesus.
Yeah, that's a lot of cool stuff. The Plus awesome. Lineup is pretty good, too. PlayStation VR 2 gets Vacation Simulator.
I don't know anything about that one.
That's a free VR game, so...
Yeah.
PS3 Streaming gets a new game. Another Sword Art Online game with Lost Song.
Damn!
Yeah. And then Time Splitters 1, 2, and Future Perfect.
Very nice.
Yeah, all PS2 games getting re-released. This is why I think Xbox needs to reboot the backward compatibility program. Sony's putting out new PS2 games. What's Xbox doing to counter that?
Nothing. Increasing the price of Game Pass.
Ah. let's see. The Plucky Squire is going to be a PlayStation Plus Extra Launch Edition on September 17th when the game comes out. The game is also going to release on Switch, Xbox, and PC as well.
I don't know anything about that one.
It looks cute. So.
Ooh, okay. I'll go look it up then, because I like cute things.
Aki, you're excited about this. Dragon Age The Veilguard. Got a yes. release date of October 31st for Series X and S, PS5, and PC. Halloween is going to be full of Dragon Age. The yay timing on that was incredible, by the way. Thank you, Jordan, for the subscription.
Seriously, worry.
The timing on that was great.
Yeah. I worry about Veilguard. Why? Pretty significantly, because a lot of Dragon Age people have not been super happy with it, because they apparently feel like it's been dumbed down, and they don't like the whole concept of now it's dealing with these other people instead of focusing on the old party, which I don't really care. I'm like, every game has been a new party, who cares? But lots of people really care about that. So I'm just a little worried that it's not going to sell as well, sadly. But I am excited.
How it sells, as long as the game is good, that's what I care about.
Yeah. Even if it's just okay, I'll still be pretty happy.
I'm so behind. I still haven't played Dragon Age.
I haven't finished Dragon Age, so that's okay, Bri.
I never finished any of them. I opened up the first. Like, I started romancing somebody, then something else came out, never got back to it. I bought the second, I never even opened it.
Oh, no, I finished the first two games. I didn't like 100% them, but because there's like so many different things to do. But I did finish at least one playthrough of both of them and really enjoyed them. But I started Inquisition and it just didn't hit for me. So it's still sitting on my backlog, just
collecting dust. Did you get out of the first area?
Yes. I think I did, yeah.
Because I know the first area is kind of a drag in that game, and it's long. You can leave earlier, but a lot of people don't realize it. They just stay there way too long. I think that's kind of poor game design, but once you get out of there and get to explore, and I thought the game opened up pretty well. I liked it.
Okay. I haven't beaten it
myself, but I put a ton of time into it.
I didn't particularly like Inquisition, but I also was stupid and started it on the hardest difficulty because I'm me. And I got about halfway through and I'm like, I'm just not enjoying this, because on that difficulty, you really need to use its new mechanics. And I did not jive with any of them. But this new one, if you didn't like Inquisition, this new one is a completely different beast. It's more of a hack and slash action styled RPG, more so than, you know, a semi turned based attempt from Inquisition, if you were using that system anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Thimber's annoyed because the game is going to be $60 on PC but $70 on console.
Weird.
This doesn't shock me, and that also now annoys me.
Or you could drop $90 for the deluxe edition.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, that'll be me.
Then again, if you have EA Play, you get a discount, so it's $81.
Ooh.
Yeah, how much do I have to give EA for EA Play to get that $9 off?
Do you have Game Pass Ultimate?
Yes.
Then you and have you it. Have
EA. Yeah,
oh.
You have EA Play.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've never used it.
EA Play's included in Game Pass.
Ultimate. Is the Ubisoft one as well?
Only on Ultimate, no.
Ah, of course. Oh, well. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Game Pass Ultimate includes Game Pass Console, Game Pass PC, xCloud, EA Play, what else? There's something else.
All the perks, I don't know.
Yeah, true, the perks.
Question. If you don't have Game Pass Ultimate and you have a game that and you actually own a game that was on it for like the online where you can play it through streaming, can you still stream that game if you actually own that game? Okay.
No, you can only stream with Game Pass Ultimate.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And it's only the games that are available through whatever they have. And Fortnite.
Mm. Yeah. That's a game that exists too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Red Dead Redemption PSN page was inexplicably updated to include information on an unannounced PC version of the game, seemingly confirming the game's PC existence. I don't know if the page has been updated or not, but it was pretty clear about saying the first time on PC.
Very nice.
So, I guess that'll be coming along. Until Dawn remake is hitting PS5 and PC October 4th.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, the original still looks fine, so.
I've seen comparison shots. The new one looks really good. Oh? Visually, it looks stunning. Yeah. So look up some comparison shots. It's pretty good. Kingdom Come Deliverance has a new release date of February 11th, 25. They were aiming for a 2024 window, but not happening.
Too packed, or they still need to polish?
I think polish. But being too packed helps as well, because this fall's fucking crowded.
Yeah, it is.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of being crowded, October 18th, we're getting two new games from Boss Team Games in Way Forward, with Retro Realms Halloween and Retro Realms Ash vs. Evil Dead. Games will run $25 each and release on all platforms.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
So two retro style, like 16-bit games based on Halloween and Ash vs. Evil Dead. They're doing a physical edition as well, with like a 12-inch Halloween plush.
Ooh.
Like a Michael Myers plush. Physical copy of the game, steelbook. It's a pretty cool bundle that they're doing. I think it's only $100 too.
Nice.
Yeah. Last bit of news I have. Nexon announced that the free-to-play racer Kart Rider Drift is going to shut down in early 25, not even 2 years after launch.
Yep.
For Xbox.
Yeah.
It will still, however, run in South Korea and, I think, Japan. It's two countries over in Asia. I know that.
Wow.
Fair.
Yeah. Is it on PlayStation as well?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The console versions are getting shut down. They're going to focus on PC. And
I thought it was mobile, but...
Is it?
Well, didn't they also just console. Put out First Descendant? And then isn't that also Nexon?
I don't know.
don't know. None of us know. Good. Yeah. Yeah,
I avoid knowing things like the plague. Yeah, so.
The first descendant is also Nexon.
Interesting. Hmm. Maybe they're just like, we'll just have that focus on Xbox and not do Kartrider. I don't know. I don't know anyone playing it. So
yeah,
it being can't, like, I mean, I did the beta for
it. I did as well.
And I was just like, okay. And then I never even, I don't even know if I downloaded it when it became a regular game. So I might actually have achievements waiting for me.
I got three achievements in the game.
Yeah, I just, okay.
Yay. So yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, what do you got?
All I had was the Dragon Age, and we've already covered that, so.
Yeah. Bree, what you got?
Let's see, I've got some sad news, and I've got some happy for me news.
Sad news first.
Sad news first, all right. So, related to the cartoon more than the games, but Rachel Lillis, the Pokemon voice actor for Misty, Jesse of Team Rocket, and other Pokemon characters, passed away of breast cancer.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. She was 46.
Damn.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah. Game-related sad news. Sad Cat Studios' retro-futuristic platformer Replaced just got delayed into 2025 as well.
Yay.
Now, how many delays? Is that for sales or for polish, did they say?
I don't know.
Okay.
That sucks. That game looks so cool. As long as it comes out, I can manage. Yeah.
Well, it will be Game Pass when it launches, right?
I believe it is, yes.
Ooh. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is kind of mixed news for me. I just learned about a really cool game I need to have in my life when it releases. It's called By Sweet Carol. It's a narrative horror adventure game inspired by animation movies. Has been delayed in 2025 when it will release on all platforms. To give you a clue what this game is, described by Chris Darrell of the Remothered series in a recent tweet, he's the developer of this as well, is a traditional 2D animated action adventure survival horror game in which Disney / Bluth aesthetics meet Clock Tower / Another World gameplay.
Ooh,
that sounds interesting.
That is a lot of descriptors.
Yes, but think Dark Disney and you've got, like, you know, Disney princesses in a horror game. Like, that's what this is. It looks really cool.
I just found its Steam page. Oh my god, so yeah, this looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Throw a link in general.
Yeah, okay. If you've got the link, go ahead. Yeah, yep. I don't have a link here.
Doing it right now.
So, like I said, mixed bag there, because it's been delayed, but now I know it exists. So, yay. It looks really cool.
Oh my god, this is so pretty.
Yeah. Oh,
it's published by Maximum.
So.
Okay,
yeah, you've hyped me for this. Freaking awesome.
Well, and speaking of hype, this is my good bit of news. I found out about another cool game that I need to play. It's coming out in October, called Moving Houses. Its inspirations listed for the game include Power Wash Simulator, Alan Wake, and the little mindfuck of a book I love called House of Leaves, if anybody knows what that is. So I'm really looking forward to that. Comes out in October, but yeah, that was really all my news.
I love its little descriptor. Be neat, be careful, or be a chaos goblin.
Yes. House of Leaves is a really crazy book that has, like, buildings with impossible geometry and people going crazy trying to understand it. And, like, the typography of the page is not like a normal book. And it's like 700 pages of just descent into madness. And it's fabulous. And I can't wait to see how that inspired Moving Houses.
So, this game actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm right up there with you. Adding this to my wish list too. Shit.
Yep.
So, yeah, cool. Anything else on your end?
Nope.
All right, Jacob. I'm going to regret this, but give us
all my news and a movie review.
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right. So Gearbox has pretty much announced Borderlands 4, as well as a new Brothers in Arms game. And they've also hinted that there may also be new games for Risk of Rain and Duke Nukem. It's expected that these announcements are going to come during Gamescom. And some people also think that there's going to be a sequel to Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. So we got that. Amazon is reportedly working on an animated anthology series that's going to feature Spelunky and other video game worlds, including Amazon's own New World. It's being done by the team who did Netflix's Love, Death, and Robots. And apparently a number of unspecified PlayStation titles will also show up in this show as well.
Interesting.
In other movie news, the time-traveling Bring a Gun to a Sword Fight, Kingmakers, which isn't even out yet, has already been picked up for a movie by Story Kitchen, who specializes in the adaptation of video games and other non-traditional IP into film and TV shows. It was founded in 2022 by the producer of Sonic the Hedgehog, Dimitri Johnson. And Story Kitchen's also involved in the adaptation for Dredge and the new Tomb Raider movie.
All right. Well, they need to put Bruce Campbell in it. That's all that matters. He just needs to be the guy going back in time. That's all. That's what we need, and it will be a perfect movie. I don't care what the hell happens in the rest of it. Just yes.
Disney Dreamlight Valley news. It is officially confirmed that the new DLC.
Best part is Horror Acolyte said. So what's happening in Disney Dreamlight Valley?
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Exactly. So they've officially confirmed that next week, Act 3 of A Rift in Time, which is the DLC stuff set on Eternity Island, that drops on Wednesday, along with a new Star Path, which is focused on 1920s clothing, aka Princess and the Frog kind of stuff. So Tiana drops for free for everyone. And then at the end of Act 3, Jafar will join your village. And they've now formally said Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas is coming at some point this fall. And then we also get Timon and Pumbaa, as we already know. And then they're going to do another developer update, probably like November, December, to give us the roadmap for 2025.
Disney Dreamlight update.
And then, I saw Borderlands. Would you like to know how it is?
Bad?
Actually, no. It's rather average. To be honest. So thanks to T-Mobile, I got a $5 ticket to go see Borderlands in IMAX, which if you're listening to this show, unfortunately, you're probably too late to go see the movie in IMAX because Alien Romulus comes out, I think, tomorrow. So sucks to be you. Anyway. And I get in there, and I was literally the only person in the theater. So
I would say this shocks me, but it doesn't.
It really doesn't. I mean, but to be fair, it was a Wednesday at 5:20 showing. So, like, you know.
Oh, that's prime time movie time, man. Everyone should be there then.
I mean, you'd figure, but unfortunately, no. So the movie has us introduced to Kate Blanchett, who is playing Lilith. Who is a bounty hunter who gets recruited for a job by the head of Atlas to bring back his daughter, Tiny Tina, who has been kidnapped by Roland and brought down to Pandora. And so now, I mean,
so they completely destroyed any semblance of story. Okay.
All right. First off, that's one of the things that I find really funny with the online criticism of this, because everyone's like, oh, they're ignoring the story. And I'm like, Borderlands barely had a story. It's an aesthetic. It's a vibe. It's the story.
It's about vault hunters.
It's a
treasure hunters.
Yeah. Don't worry. We get there. So anyways, it's we also run into Krieg, and so we now have our merry band of four characters for this, and they we find out that Tiny Tina is the key to open up the vault, along with a couple of Iridian artifacts. And they need the help of Tanis, who, you know, harbors a secret past with Lilith. And they go off and, you know, it's a whole lot of shooting. Yeah, it's a whole lot of shooting. It's PG-13 shooting, so there's no blood or guts. But
oh, that's a shame.
I'm not going to lie. Like, there's a high body count for the film. Like, there's a lot of bullets flying, like, throughout.
I would hope
and
so.
And honestly, if you're just looking for, like, an average, like, action movie, honestly, this wasn't a bit, like, it really wasn't that bad. People blame Kevin Hart as being miscast. I didn't, he was fine. Like, I don't, like, it wasn't, like, I didn't spend the whole movie angry at him, like, oh, he's a terrible Roland. Like, because part of the beauty of Borderlands is that everyone was pretty much a blank slate, except for, like, little catchphrases you'd throw around. And I played as Brick all the time, so most of my catchphrases were, ugh. You can't see it, but I'm doing, like, Hulk hands over here.
Good.
But, yeah, the music is just, like, a bunch of, like, standard rock songs, which oddly didn't include Jenny Cage the Elephant. I was a little surprised by that. But yeah, I mean, there was plenty of moments I like laughed with it. I was entertained throughout. It's not that bad, but at the same time, I only paid $5 for my ticket. I don't know that I'd feel the same if I had paid $20 for my IMAX ticket. But honestly, I think it's worth a watch. Like, just go in there and enjoy people getting shot.
I'm good.
I'll do that from the comfort of my own home.
Or you yeah. can go watch Deadpool 3 and have a good time, folks.
Yeah.
I did have a good time at Deadpool.
I still need to go see it. My sister wants us to go do a movie night, so I think we're going to possibly do it this weekend.
Good.
I hope. Oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. But
if they don't manage it, you should just go yourself anyways. It is worth it.
I can't just go myself. I have a wife. I have to, like, clear things with her.
She is the moneymaker.
Yeah.
Fair.
All right, should we get to reviews?
Yes. Let's
do it.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is Just Crow Things, developed and published by Unbound Creations, released August 15th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, and PC for $19.99. You're a little crow trying to prove herself to the world, make new animal friends, poop on unsuspecting humans, and steal all the shiny trinkets. Each level is a little sandbox full of fun items to discover and puzzles to solve while leaving a bit of chaos behind. Why? Just cause.
Mm-hmm. My soul.
Tell us about Just Crow Things.
So you get an achievement for loading the game's main menu called Minimum Effort. And that is a cute example of the kind of things you're going to find in this game.
Nice.
So you are a cute little crow, and you fly around and you poop on the world below. The unsuspecting humans won't know what hit them. It's just crow Sold. Things. While there is a tutorial level, the main menu serves as a mini tutorial. You can learn the basics of flying and pooping and grabbing things right away. Your crow leaves little footprints on the ground, which is very cute. You can press A to grab things or just caw your cute little head off. You can even grab menu items and move them about, making it hard for you to actually start the level. Which is fine. Right away, I went into the credits and was pleased to see some familiar destructible credits on green paper towel and some collectibles hidden inside to reward me for viewing the creators of this fine feathered playground. And that's really what this game is, a sandbox playground. Levels are available on the overmap. You get tasks you can do to complete a level, but you're welcome to stay as long as you want and cause chaos. To complete a level, you have to get your crow reputation, your crowputation, to at least 100, which you can do in a number of ways. To truly finish the level, you have to complete all the objectives, but you can come back and finish that later if you choose. Some example of things you'll do in levels, when, races.
Quick question. When you go back to a level, does it save all the stuff you did before, or do you have to start from scratch?
No, it. You have the option to delete your progress in the level, but for the most part, it saves what you do. And there's another layer to that I'll talk about a little bit later. So things you do in levels are races. There's usually four races in every level of varying types. Some will have you swoop, some will have you just fly fast through checkpoints, and sometimes you'll need to hit a poop target in between the gates. They're fun and will reward you with a small amount of points towards your reputation. The other thing you'll see in levels is quests. You'll see an exclamation point on the map to help you find all the creatures who need your help. You might need to find certain items and return them, help a mama squirrel find her babies, take some spray paint and tag some mailboxes, or poop on things to ruin parties and put out fires. Some of the quests have multiple steps. Some are fetch quests. Other quests give you a larger chunk of reputation points. There's a fun regular cast of characters that you interact with in all the levels that will give you these different quests. Our main story is that we are a young bird leaving the nest with our family heirloom cute sunglasses. But as soon as we get out into the world, we meet a gang of crows with sunglasses who decide we aren't cool enough and they take our glasses. Now we have to get them back. That's why we're building our crowputation in the first place. But the cute glasses are just the beginning. There are at least 45 hats to find and adorn Crowy with. You can change them as well as skins and scarf colors in the mirror in the overworld crowstomization station. I found some items in the credit screen, like I said, in some of the overworld. And of course, you get rewards in the levels themselves. Some of my favorite include the pyramid head, the Friday the 13th mask, cute little backpack. You can also change the pitch of your caw if you want it to be like higher or lower than it starts, which is pretty cool. Crows can use tools like leaf blowers, flamethrowers, light swords. They can grab things like the hat off your head. You can knock into people and take the change out of their pockets. Shiny things are everywhere to be pilfered. You can eat berries to refill your poop. You can also eat different types of food like hot chilies and rain down fire poop. There are plenty of special poops to discover.
Wait.
I already said I was sold on this. Like, geez.
Fire poops.
Fire poops. There's I don't want to ruin all the surprise of the other poops, but there's some
Jacob,
fun poops.
How does that make you feel deep inside?
Oh, I want to play this game so much. I hope, is there like lightning poops?
No, but there are some good ones that you're gonna enjoy. People will fall and slip in your poop, or if you hit them on the head, they'll cry in terror or agony when you hit them. There were a lot of familiar sound effects and visual choices to rain on your parade. The background music was fun and themed for each level, like the spoopy music for the lake camp hit for me. There was one song I recognized from another game I played recently, which is something that happens with indies on a budget sometimes. I won't knock them for that. There's a photo mode, which is great because the world is cute, filled with things like fabric trees and woven knit textures for the landscape. And Unbound Creations encourages you to send your cool screenshots to their socials. Load screens are full of crow facts. Like, did you know that crows form communities and have their own dialects? I didn't. There are lots of pop culture references. I almost said poop culture references, but hey, you know, that's appropriate too. Lots of silly humor. There was a green flurf who lived in a mushroom. I ran through a section nodding to Alan Wake. There were Half-Life, Mass Effect references. There's a whole level built on fantasy tropes, like from Elder Scrolls to The Witcher, and even looks like Cat Quest as the main theme to the story. And that story has different endings, so you actually do the level multiple times. There are around a dozen levels to explore with a variety of locations from ancient Egypt to the moon. Levels vary in size, and you have a map that you can toggle in the top right corner of the screen to help navigate quests, races, and tools. There is even a boss fight kind of level. Once you beat the game, you can play levels in sandbox mode, which lets you spawn in various tools and foods to experiment with everything in different settings and just have fun your own way. So that's the other thing you can do once you've beat the game. Is you can go back and replay the levels in sandbox mode, and then you've got, you know, you want to go look for different achievements that you missed that involve you doing something like random or specific. That's a good way to do it as well. There are some assists in the game settings that enable you to make things like races a little easier, give you the ability to toggle flight instead of holding the trigger. But yeah, the game was loads of fun. Tons of little things to discover, and most importantly, to play with. If you liked Rain on Your Parade, you're probably like this too. It has a very similar vibe.
Very cool. Well, it clocks in at $19.99. What are your thoughts on that?
So buy it for me.
Works for me. I'm picking this one up. Jacob, are you buying it?
I'm excited. I'll be waiting for a sale, but yeah, I'm definitely putting this on my wish list.
You just want to poop on things, don't you?
I mean, and not get arrested for it, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Next game to talk about, Natsumon 20th Century Summer Kid, developed by Toybox and Millennium Kitchen, published by Spike Chunsoft, released August 6th on Switch and Steam for $39.99. Broadcast over Sunset DLC available for $14.99. A bundle with everything, $49.99. A circus troupe comes to Yomagi Town, a royal town in Japan, situated between mountains and the ocean. As the son of the circus ringmaster, enjoy a special summer filled with adventures. All of Yomagi Town and the nature surrounding it are open world, where you can enjoy summer to its fullest. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Who wants to start?
I will.
Go for it.
All right, so this is a charming open world playground about a fourth grade boy named Satoru. There we go. His family runs the circus, and they've come to spend the end of their summer in the rural Yomagi Town. The intro made me feel like I was watching an anime movie intro, and I was all for it. We're staying in a rental guest house while the circus sets up shop. The local teacher has sent us a summer study pack to use to further our education through playful independent studies. Gameplay starts out with a few dialogue choices and a journal we can write in that reminds me a little of Dordogne. We can stamp it. We get cute drawings of our activities so far that day. A few things to note. Playing this on the Switch is where I played it. The language was Japanese with English subtitles. The game is fully voice acted, and it's fabulous. You can change the speed at which time passes, so you can have a relaxed, normal, or rapid setting for the time of that you spend during your daytime. I really wanted to get the most out of each day, so I went with relaxed. And this all takes place over the month of August of 1999, so you can feel the nostalgia.
What's the difference in the speeds of the game that you mentioned?
So basically, when you're exploring during the day, you just your day lasts longer, so you have more daylight. That'll make a little more sense when I explain the day. So there's a day cycle of things that occur. You wake up, you share a meal, you have the opportunity to do radio exercises with the community. You get to explore the map during the day, and then one of your caretakers will come and pull you in for dinner from wherever you are on the map, like an instant teleport. So if you want more time during that day cycle, you just put it on relaxed. If you want it on to go faster because you're playing through for the second time and you just want to hit specific types of things, you can throw it on rapid and it'll make your day cycle shorter.
Gotcha.
After that shared meal, you can explore in the evening for a little bit or go straight to bed. Your bedtime is 10 p.m. if you want to get up and not waste any day. This game encourages good habits. It also encourages playful exploration. You have...
Man, you did that during a review. I'm getting ready to we got a spammer in chat and I'm getting ready to click and delete it. And you already got it while you're doing a review.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's impressive.
Right. So yeah, this game encourages playful exploration. You have the opportunity to live it up for your summer doing what you please, or you can engage with NPCs and do quests to help people in the town. You can be industrious and collect things to raise money. I cleaned up a bunch of plastic and glass bottles from the beach and redeemed it for cash. The family circus is in financial trouble, so one big goal is to secretly make money by mid-month to help out to your family. The animation sequence for the radio exercises is actually really easy to follow along with and get in a good stretch and some body movement to start your day, or just get up from the game for a few. And each of the meals, everyone expresses gratitude for the meal before and after. Speaking of meals, I love the cultural aspect of the food and talking about what they were eating. There was something different in every meal. Each day features something new to explore, and different events will trigger. Some will only be available if you engage with something on an earlier day. As the story progresses, the world opens up more to you as well. You can use your map to help find events to trigger and set markers to locations, which is great that you want to explore people you want to talk to. We have 3D movement and camera. You can go just about anywhere. Missions like catching bugs with a net will help you explore. You can keep or release your bugs. There are little quests like finding 10 different types of bugs, and then you get a sticker. Collecting stickers means you can dash longer, climb higher, or run for as long as you have sticker stamina. You can climb walls and trees. This game is really just about like playing and exploring and having big and little adventures. It's the sort of game I would have loved to have played as a kid sick in bed. Because, you know, when you're sick in bed, you can't go out and play with your friends like you want to. Like, this game allows you to simulate that. But there's just so many things to do, whether you're messing around or helping people. You can go fishing. You have to find bait like crabs and worms, which you can catch or dig once you know how. There's mining for gems. I climbed trees and fences and lit lanterns each day for 3 days to help out the shrine dude, and I got a nice payout. I helped find out the mystery of the pigs getting out of the pen. Like, shrine dude really loves his pigs. They're very cute pigs. So there's just mysteries to solve and little things to do. In addition to your personal collection of fish and bugs, you can find rare species for the museum or other dug up treasures. There's a fortune teller who gives you a nighttime report of events you could encounter the next day that appear if you appear there on time. I really love the journal as a way to capture my journey. You can scroll through it any time. You get drawings of bugs, all the stuff that you did, like little activities. You can look back through your collection of bugs in your bug cage, and you can see your fish in the tank, although sometimes fish does become dinner.
And it's great when it does.
Yeah.
How does this compare to, like, Animal Crossing?
I haven't ever played Animal Crossing, but, like... Really? Yeah,
I know. We gotta get you to try Animal Crossing.
I wanted to.
I've played Harvest Moon. That's the closest I've played. I played that way back when.
Yeah.
And it's not super similar to that. It is very chillax still. And you do go around collecting bugs and fishing. But honestly, for me, I never felt like I was getting anything done. Like, I put it on relaxed to have as much time during the day as I could, and I still feel like I was getting nowhere. The day goes by so fast. See, I'm like, just give me like 4 hours for the day, please.
Oh my gosh. I found like a Japanese castle, and then eventually I found through the little kids club that, you know, they found the key ring so you can get in the side door, and then you start this whole mission where you get an acorn shooter and you have to solve puzzles inside the Japanese castle. Like, there's just, it really opens up the more time you spend in it. And the game is funny. The NPCs are lively and fun to engage with. Whether it's the kids or the adults, like, I really love talking to the other characters. It was always rewarding, whether the interaction was just like a fun thing or it unlocked a new goal. It showed me something else I could do with the game. I the writing was just very funny for most of the characters. Like, there's this fisherman that you meet, and he's got a reporter asking him questions, and he's like, oh, have you caught anything, you know, special, or have you caught anything, you know, today or whatever? And he's like, yeah, apparently I'm catching stupid reporters. Yeah. And it's just, like heckling the guy. It's great.
Yeah. And what's really good is, like, the interviewer asks you what should be asked. And you're like, well, ask him how many fish he's caught.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to guess, Joe, how many fish has he caught?
None.
One.
One. Close.
This amazing fisherman that they're like, oh, this is the greatest fit in one fish. Yeah. Like, yes.
But you end up perfect. In a contest with him to like find rare fish to give to the museum. And then when you get to the museum, you find out that there's like rare bugs that you can find to add to the collection. And they'll pay you money for it too, which is really cool. When you're trying to get money to do stuff, there's a toy shop. You can go buy toys if you just want to like spend your money on you. I was personally saving up money to give to the family because I thought that was a really cool goal. I got to explore some like crazy cool areas where you do like mining. There's like an abandoned mine and some like tricky stuff to platform that I found. And I didn't unlock 100% of the map. I probably unlocked about 2/3 of the map by the time I was done. for the weekend and just, yeah. But like, it's, I had so much fun just with the carefree play, you know, childhood nostalgia. And I seriously had a hard time putting it down, which is saying something for me because I'm not much of a handheld player and I was playing it handheld on my Switch all weekend because I was out of the house. So yeah, I had a blast with it and it was great to, you know, I could just like put it down for a few minutes, just hit the pause screen, go do some stuff and then come back and pick it right back up. And, you know, or, you know, you can save at the end of the day. The game auto saves, but eventually I learned you can save from the menu whenever you want. And then it prompts you at the end of each day cycle to save your game and asks you if you want to continue, like as if it were subtly nudging you to take a break from the game if you need to. Again, with those like encouraging good habits.
Felt like to me, like every day it was like, yeah, now go, okay, save, put this down, go enjoy real life for a little bit, and then come back. Yeah. I feel like that's exactly how this game should be played. Play it for, you know, if you're playing it in the super fast route, play like a couple days. But if you're playing the normal or relaxed, like play a day, maybe two. Then save, yeah. Quit for a while, just go enjoy family life or what have you, and then come back. It's all good. Yeah. It'll all be here later.
Yeah, I went through a phase where I was just like super into catching bugs and I was like, you know, catch the bug. Oh, what happens if I go catch bugs after dinner? And you find that there are some bugs that only come at night. And I went through that phase for a little while and then I went through a fishing phase and then I went through like a hardcore exploration phase where I found like the Japanese castle and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, see, my issue is I got to the bug hunting phase and... That's kind of where I stuck. I was like, because that's fun. I like
it that. It really was. You can catch them with your hands or you can catch them with a bug net, which is like super fun.
Yeah, this is very much, you know, country girl living here. I was so for that. The moment they were like, oh, yeah, go catch bugs. I was like, oh, this is going to be my life now. I've caught probably 100 bugs now. And the great thing is, after you catch them, they're all in this little box of yours, and you can decide which ones you want to let go, and so on and so forth. And I just keep the largest one. That way I know which one's the largest. And I just catch a shit ton of them and be like, did I get one that's bigger? Did I get one that's bigger? I love that. It's so fun.
Thank God you beat me again.
It's Bree. Like- She's an expert. Oh my god! At this.
The Banhammer. You are swift.
Yes, I am.
Let's talk price. Natsuman is a $40 game. Aki, did you get to access the DLC at all?
I think there might be another section of the map that was added, but I don't know where it is. So it might just be a normal part of, like, now what the map is. I don't know if it's like, oh, you go to a new area, or if it's just, oh, this area that didn't exist beforehand is now on the map, and therefore we wouldn't know whether we saw it or not. But there are DLC fish and I believe some bugs, and I did fiddle around and find some of those, because they do show up just in the standard world. And apparently some of the characters that you can interact with, which are just random ass people, apparently some of them are also new from the DLC, but I don't know which ones. I just know there are some new ones. So it just
kind of like integrates into everything?
I believe so. That's what it seems from the bit that I accessed. That's what it seems to be. So I think if that is what it is, even if it's, you know, a new area, but even if it's just, you know, here's just a little bit more to this map, that's still worth it for the DLC. It is so good.
Well, the game's 40, the DLC's 15, the bundle is 50. What are your thoughts on everything? Bree, you start.
I would say it's a buy it for me. I expect a price like that. Like I said, I played on Switch for a game of this type or this size. And to me, it felt huge, and there was tons to do.
And I also think it's a buy it for, especially for the bundle. You might as well get that so it's $5 cheaper. The only thing I really hope for in this game, obviously neither of us have finished it because it is a big game. I really hope that at the end, because you're only there for a month, So I'm really hoping at the end of it, it allows you to continue going and just recycles you at the start of the month or something. Just because I want to do everything there is to do in the game. And yeah. I don't think there's enough time to do that. And I'm like, I really want to, though, because it's so fun.
Gotcha on that one, Bree.
I could spend literally the entire month, all day, every day in that game, just catching bugs. So,
man, so many bots tonight.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Three in one review. All right, let's move on. Next game to talk about is Soko Lab, developed and published by Aphil Games, released August 15th on Xbox and Windows Store for $4.99 each. Get ready to dive into an electrifying cerebral challenge with the incredible game Soko Lab. Discover a world full of puzzles and excitement where your goal is to guide a skilled robot through 50 engaging levels, each more challenging than the last. Bree, what is Soko Lab?
So this is a Sokoban puzzle game where you push boxes to an objective. You're a little blue robot. One neat feature I don't normally see in games like this is the ability to rotate the camera. You can undo all the way back to the beginning of the level if you need to. Being that it's got a robot lab theme, there are a few gimmicks besides just pushing a block, which is amazing. There are light switches and electrical boxes that you can energize and remove blocks to certain areas so you can push them around, or push around them, rather. You can turn some of those same obstacles into elevators as the train gains new heights. You need to rethink your energized blocks at some point and use them for different purposes, like creating platforms to move your target block along toward the goal. And later puzzles add reflective mirrors to power up light receptacles and open gates. It's pretty clever. It was more than I was expecting. There are 50 levels to test your brain, but the initial achievement list only has you get 25. I suspect there'll be title updates along the way that will challenge you to get further into the game. I really was expecting another run-of-the-mill push-some-blocks Sokoban, which I've seen way too much of lately, and this was actually different and had layers to it, and I was pleasantly surprised by the variety and the twists it held in the levels.
It's finally something different in terms of Sokoban.
Yeah, it really was.
Everything has been like 2D, pixelated. This seems more like intense and graphically impressive than the other ones, at least.
It was okay, but I mean, nothing to like.
But it's not 2D pixel.
It wasn't just 2D pixel. There was a little bit more to it. Like I said, there were like layers to the terrain, and then the different gimmicks that you have to find was what was challenging and fun and unique, I would say, even.
Unique.
I know.
Well, it's $5 on Xbox, $5 on Windows Store. What are your thoughts? Is it worth picking up one, both?
I would say definitely pick up one. If you, I felt like the achievements were easy enough. If you're decent at Sokoban or puzzles in general, if you want the extra achievements, like $5 is a good price. So, and again, I've seen from this publisher that they've been doing title updates, so you're probably going to get more bang for your buck as the days go on.
Rock on. All right, next up, Sam & Max The Devil's Playhouse Remastered, developed and published by Skunk Ape Games, released August 14th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $19.99. Last game in the episodic Sam & Max trilogy, beautifully remastered. The intergalactic villains who seek the devil's toy box close in, and Max's psychic abilities grow beyond his control. The freelance police will come against their most frightening adversary yet. Power of Max's mind. Jacob and Bree, both of you played this. Jacob, how about you start off? What is Sam & Max, The Devil's Playhouse Remastered?
So, for those who are not familiar with Sam & Max, it is a franchise that started off as a comic book back in the 80s, featuring an anthropomorphic dog and his rabbit friend. Sam is the dog detective, and Max is the little rabbit that pretty much just destroys everything that he comes across. And the two of them are freelance detectives who go about trying to solve various weird mysteries. And yeah, it's been all over the place, but there's been comic books. There's been at least one cartoon show. I don't know if there was two. I might be thinking of The Tick, but anyway, but it's also come into video games, after the creator actually worked at, LucasArts for a bit. Anyways, so Sam and Max got brought back, for a trilogy in the early 2000s, which is a weird phrase to say. And Sam and Max, The Devil's Playground, Playhouse. Not,
The Devil's Playhouse. I had it down as Playground too, so I totally get the mess up there.
But this is the last one in the trilogy, and much like other Telltale games, which this was originally developed by, this is episodic in nature, and each episode is self-contained. However, of course, there's always like cliffhangers or unresolved plot lines that that you have to wait until the next one. So this one collects the third and last one of this trilogy. And we find our heroes, or anti-heroes, however you want to refer to them, they are being held captive by this alien named Skunkape, which also, if you spell it out, is Skunk Ape, which Sam and Max refer to him as pretty regularly. And he declares that he's going to come to coming to the world in peace. However, they quickly deduce that it's not. And so we are led through this almost Twilight Zone kind of thing, where we find out that Max suddenly has psychic powers. And this is the reason why, you know, he's always been acting so strange all these years. And now these psychic powers are coming out, but only through the various toys that Max has. And so, like, for instance, the first one you get is a telephone, and that allows you to teleport to different spots when the puzzle requires for it. But you do pick up other stuff along the way, and you have to not only with other Sam and Max games where it's a point and click adventure, and like you have to talk to a bunch of people and find out like information, you have to look at different stuff. This one now adds the possibility of all these different new powers and trying to figure out how they, like, you know, you have to think beyond what you're usually doing with a point and click adventure. And this time it's more, I don't know, it just felt like it added an extra dimension, even though on the other hand, all it really is just like it's another item box for you to look through and figure out how stuff's going to get done. But yeah, I was really enjoying it. Bree, did you have anything that you wanted to?
Yeah, well, you were just saying about the different like toys and the powers that Max gets to use. I felt like one of the key things was the future vision. And that was a really nice, like you get these little glimpses into the future and some events won't trigger until you found the right clues normally. Well, now like those clues are sometimes found through the future vision, which was a really nice twist. And you know, you've got your basic detective story, your basic detective point and click kind of mechanics with Sam. And then you get this complete wacky twist with Max, which was really just fun to play with. This was actually my first time playing The Devil's Playhouse because it wasn't on Xbox. I've played some of the original Sam and Max. It was apparently available on PC, PlayStation 3, and iPad. So this is our first time getting Devil's Playhouse on Xbox, which is really nice. So I was unfamiliar with the story. And the five episodes, it sounds like each of them has a different theme to them. So, like, the Penal Zone is the first episode, is like a B sci-fi movie. The Tomb of Sem and Mach is like a, you know, period piece. They Stole Max's Brain is the third episode. Beyond the Alley of the Dolls is a little maybe bit more noir. And The City That Dares Not Sleep. So they've got some really cool titles, some really cool stuff going on. Obviously, you're going to have your cliffhangers, like you said. But yeah, I was really enjoying this one.
Yeah, like, and with the humor that you usually get from a Sam and Max stuff, one of the things I just liked was just, like, clicking on everything and talking to everyone and messing with every single button that I possibly could.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to get all the reactions out of them.
Well, but I feel like you get rewarded for that too. And I would say, though, unlike a typical point and click where you have a cursor, this has hotspots that you cycle through, and you also get to move through like a little bit like a 2.5D environment. Basically, it's not quite 3D. So you move closer to objects and then you can cycle through the hot spots, and that's kind of how the point and click aspect works, which is nice as well. And it's also sometimes easy to miss stuff because of that. So definitely have to, I went back and forth a couple of times, when I was playing this the other day, like just because I completely missed a radio with the future vision, and that was the key I needed to get someone to give something to so that they would give me something else. And, you know, so there's like a lot of back and forth between those two locations for a little while I was trying to figure that one out.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, going back and forth between all the locations, like especially early on, you can flip between multiple areas as you so choose, and I'm not gonna lie, like it kind of felt a little overwhelming at times. Because usually, like, when you're trying to do one of these games, everything is in, like, one spot, period, dot. And it's just, I mean, not, like, one spot, but, like, one location. And meanwhile, this one, it's just, like, you're running to the other end of town to get, like, to go check out stuff. And you might have ended up missing some stuff because you've just started triggering out other stuff along with it. But I was having a lot of fun with this. One of the things I appreciate is that even though it is rated T for teen, at least early on in the game, there wasn't anything that I couldn't play around my kids. And it actually got them kind of interested into Sam and Max. And so now I'm hoping I could track down the cartoon show I can show that to them.
Yeah, I remember playing the 360 version of Sam and Max Save the World, and just I remember the load times were being like they were terrible. Like it's just you've got these kind of cinematic entrances, and then there's just this load screen of doom. So it was the remaster is modernized in terms of graphics, and the audio is great, and the load times are also great. So that's awesome.
I really hope that they start making more Sam and Max games, because honestly I'm really glad that they made these remasters. Same. But I also want more now.
Well, it clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good price. You get a lot of game. I mean, each of the episodes are like 2-3 hours a piece, depending on how quick you are at solving them. If you've played them before, maybe you go a little quicker, but it's a fair price for the amount of content, and again, it's a beautiful remaster.
Well, I mean, the other two are $20 too, I think.
Yeah.
As well. And so I mean, like, just think of it. Like, you buy all three for $60, like a lot of game for your money at this point in gaming.
Absolutely. And I need to go back and pick up the other remasters. So that's going on my wish list.
Very cool. All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you get going. We've kept you long enough. Sailing the seas tonight again?
That is currently the plan, yes.
Yar. Do you have any final words, final thoughts?
Never forget, everybody poops.
It's true. And sometimes I poop for everybody.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means. Weird. I really don't know what that just kind of came out of my mouth. I vaguely regret having said that.
On that note, have a good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night. Good night.
Don't regret that. That was one of the best things you've ever said.
God, now I always just regret being on the show.
Next game to talk about, Phantom Spark, developed by Ghosts, published by CoatSync, released August 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $19.99. Dive into the captivating high-speed world of Phantom Spark. Engage in precision time trial racing to best the champions in the single-player campaign. Challenge your friends in split-screen local multiplayer or make your mark on the global online leaderboards. Jacob, what is Phantom Spark?
So Phantom Spark is this interesting racing game where pretty much like, I don't know if like your spark is really like a vehicle or you're the spark or, but like, I don't know, because like the main lady just introduced, oh, hey there, like new spark. Nice to see you around here. But anyway, so what it is your spirit or something. I don't know. I was not paying as much attention to the story as I wish I had now. But they're like, oh,
gee.
Whatever. Anyway, so what it is you're kind of like this spirit, and you have like this whole racing area that you could kind of just you're racing against yourself, and then you have to race again against your ghost and like the leader of your realm that you're racing around in. And there's like 10 or so of these races that you have to do. And so I'm not going to lie, it kind of pads it out, but at the same time, they're like, the whole idea is that you need to be first in each of these races, because the whole point of this is improving yourself. And so whether you crash or whether you just, you know, you just come in second or whatever, the game will give you this kind of gentle, like, oopsie daisy, let's try again, in a non-judgmental way. And so it's a very chill, but also very thrilling sci-fi racer game. And it's very beautiful to look at. I'd honestly compare it to like Arrow or Invici and Vector for that kind of background. Like it's real nice to look at. Yeah, I didn't really have too much. Like, I really didn't have anything to complain about other than it was just like, oh good, I get to play the track again. And it was just like, and so I'd honestly like start cheesing myself and like slowing down and like, which, I mean, maybe that's what the game makers wanted you to do, like slow down and take in the beauty of everything, and then the next race run as fast as, or like race as fast as you can. But yeah, like it kind of felt like it was being padded out, but it's really nice to look at. It's really chill. I really enjoy it.
Well, it clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts on Phantom Spark?
I'd recommend it. It's a good time. And as I said, it's very chill.
Rock on. Sounds good. Up next, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, developed and published by Ember Lab, released August 15th on Xbox One Series X and S for $39.99. Kena, Bridge of Spirits is a story-driven action adventure set in a charming world rich with exploration and fast-paced combat. Players find and grow a team of tiny spirit companions called the Rot, enhancing their abilities and creating new ways to manipulate the environment. Aki, this came out on PlayStation a while ago, finally hit Xbox this month. Was it worth the wait? What are your thoughts on it?
Yes, and yes. Okay, so in this, you play as a young girl named Kena. She is a spirit guide, basically. She gets spirits that are trapped on the earth and guides them to fuck off so they don't become evil, basically. And to do this, she also collects other little spirits called the Rot. It doesn't fully explain what they are, so I don't really understand what they are, but they're these little golem-like creatures that are like a mix between a golem and like the Minions, and they're just the cutest little things you've ever seen ever. And basically they help you do stuff. Like, they'll pick up heavy objects, and there might be like 20 of them that go over and lift it for you, and move it around so you can use that item to platform to another area you can't get to and things like that. But throughout this, you're fighting these evil, gnarly, corrupted monsters that are made out of plant life, summoned by a spirit that has gone bad. Yay! And basically, the entire time, it is a very, very easy Souls-like styled combat. Until you play it on the hardest difficulty, and then in which case, well, have fun. but yeah, you're beating on these creatures, and eventually they explode, and life is good again. All while doing all of this, you're also finding the corruption, usually, where these creatures are. There's some seed of corruption, which ends up being this gigantic plant that you have to free of corruption. And often that requires you to use your little rot buddies to get the flower to activate so you can hit it with your special spirit powers and get rid of it. Most of this game is platforming challenges and just exploration, finding stuff. There is some combat. The combat, as I said, pretty easy. There's a few bosses. Basically, you go out searching for specific spirits, and there's a boss fight in every one of these areas. The boss fights have their own mechanics to them, which are pretty fun, making all of these boss fights different from the main fights and different from each other, even. So that's really fun. There's not very many. I think there's three or four of them. You also, as you look around, you will find chests, and in the chests are tiny little itty-bitty hats that you can put on your rot. And they're adorable. They range anywhere from, oh, now you can put, you know, a flower, a dandelion, on your rot's head, to, oh, your rot now is wearing a shark hat. You know, it's all over the place. They're really adorable. Some of them are straight-up masks that they can wear as well, that, because the culture in this game is, oh, everyone has a mask, so the rot ends up getting some masks that you can equip a few of them with, which is really cute. And yeah, you're just going around trying to free all these spirits so you can get up to the top of this mountain, because it's apparently where all the best, you know, spirit guides have always gone, and you need to get up there because you want to prove to yourself and to your father that you're amazing, to make him proud, basically, because he has passed on, or possibly disappeared. We're not really sure. And yeah, it's just does this really cute little game. There's challenges that you can actually do that give you new outfits that you can equip to change up Kina's appearance. And there's different levels of each one. Each challenge might be like, oh, here's three challenges for this little block. And if you finish them, you get one outfit. But if you get gold on all of them, you get another outfit. And each one of the little challenges in that little block might give you, you know, maybe they'll give you some added health or some added magic power, or maybe they'll give you a new hat for your rot or something like that. And at the end, you get a new really cool looking outfit for Kina. There's a bunch of those they do unlock as you continue the game. And yeah, it's just a super cute, sweet little game. Lots of platforming. If platforming isn't your thing, well, I don't know if you'll like this so much. there are sometimes some challenges where you shoot your bow, which are, I thought, were really fun. And it's not just platforming. Oh, you have to jump from thing to thing. Sometimes you're going downhill, sliding and skidding around, and you have to jump and shoot little chains out, basically, to pull you to stuff so you can make it into rooms and stuff. It's surprisingly fast-paced at times, and then it goes really lazy river for a big chunk of the time, too. So you get this like, I get time to relax, and then you get a really intense scene, and then you can get back to relaxing again to calm yourself down. It's really nice. I really liked how they interplayed those two different feelings throughout the game. And yeah, it's really good. I think it took me like, I don't know, 10 to 15 hours to 100% the game.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Granted, I also used a fantastic little glitch in the game to help me get through the hardest difficulty. So if you actually try to beat the hardest difficulty properly, good luck. it is really hard. People used to say, oh, this cute little game is one of the hardest Souls-likes that exists. Yeah, if you play it on the difficulty, it about is. Yeah.
Damn. Well, it clocks in at $39.99. What are your thoughts on Kena Bridge of Spirits?
I'm 100% for this. It is adorable and it's really fun to play.
Nice. I'm thrilled this one's finally on Xbox. Hopefully people pick it up and we don't have to wait fucking 4 years for their next game.
Yeah, I just hope someone, you know, makes a little guide so that I can finish one of the last challenges, because one of the challenges seems to be glitched, but the devs are like, it's not glitched, but I'm like, yes, it is. So I'm hoping someone has a solution. Yeah, we'll find out in a month-ish, maybe.
Yeah. But moving on, next game is Mars 2120, developed and published by Cubite Interactive, released July 31st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Metroidvania with a mix of melee and range combat inspired by classics like Super Metroid, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, or Guacamelee. Help Anna 13 Charlotte battle her way through the secrets of Mars. Jacob, what is going on in Mars 2120?
That's a good question.
I'm glad I asked you. So tell us.
Because with a lot of these kind of Metroidvanias, you've got a huge area, a huge sprawling area to explore, and this game is very much like those. And as this astronaut character, I was kind of because it just drops you off on Mars, and I was just kind of expecting like some sort of tutorial level, or even just like a here's how you do this, like kind of quick introduction kind of thing. And the game's like, nah, you've played these games before, go fuck yourself. here's some enemies that are about to start attacking you five frames over. And just in case you didn't think that the game was serious, then there's a huge fuck off rock slide that you have to like run and jump away from. And that's just so you can get in to the main building where all the action of this thing takes place. And it's wild. Thankfully, death is not exactly permanent. There's some save stations sprinkled throughout the place, but essentially it's very much like a Castlevania or Metroid game. You run around the station collecting upgrades, battling, you know, aliens and like possessed soldier guys. I don't know exactly they are, and having to defeat bosses every once in a while. It was kind of difficult, I'm not going to lie. However, I was able to eventually kind of get like a rhythm to everything, especially with the boss fights. That first one that you have to fight, oh my God, that thing was a bear. And like looking back, like I could easily kill this thing in one go, which is exactly what I'm going to have to do, because as it turns out, this game does not save after you've killed a boss. The only time that this game saves is when you go to a save room.
All right.
And so I quit out after I'd killed a boss, because I was like, oh, well, the game obviously saved. Why wouldn't it? And I go back, and now I have to go fight that first boss all over again. And I was just like, all right, well, at least I could slam it out on the first go, which I did. But it was still like, ugh, guys, come on. Like, throw us a bone here. I do appreciate the fact that there is a bunch of accessibility settings. So if you need your weapons or health to be more powerful, they can be, enemies weaker. You are not invincible, though. I mean, so you will still regularly eat shit in this game. But yeah, like, aside from like the saving issues, which I wish this game did more. It was pretty challenging and pretty fun, and it's a good game to look at. If you're a fan of Metroidvanias, I'd recommend this one. And if you're not, at least check it out. The accessibility options make it pretty easy for people who suck at these kind of games to at least get further along in the story.
Cool. Well, we know you suck in a lot of things, so.
It's true.
Well, it clocks in at $19.99. Your thoughts on Mars 2120?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. I'd feel very comfortable with spending $20 on this game. And you know me, I'm cheap-ass Jacob.
You are a cheap son of a bitch. Next game, Leximan, developed by Knights of Boria, published by Marvelous Europe, released August 13th on Steam for $14.99. Do you like silly hats? Were you that one kid in class who broke reality? Are you eating nutritional slime right now? Embark on a brilliant adventure using words and incompetence to solve bizarre problems. There are also hat goblins. Aki, what the hell is Leximan?
Okay, so in Leximan, you are playing some random schmuck. You appear outside the greatest wizard's estate and school that's ever existed. And immediately out comes the principal, who is one of the biggest douchebags known to man. Immediately he belittles you and thinks of you as some lowly peasant, and how dare you interrupt his magnificence to be in front of his school. How dare you? And then he challenges you to a duel so he can see your magic. And his magic is, you know, what you'd expect out of any mage throughout history. He shoots fireballs, electricity, rains down ice and hellfire. You know, the classical things. And then there's you. Your book opens up and words appear all over the place. Fragments of words, anyways. And you put them together to create an effect. And that's your amazing magic. And he scoffs at you, but then you fireball his ass. So, you know, all's well that ends well. You're brought into the school. And it kind of shoots forward some after that. It does that kind of regularly throughout some of the game. Turns out you don't actually have any control over what fucking words show up in your book. So you just get a random assortment of letters and fragments of words, and you have to hope and pray to all of the gods that something in there is useful to what you want to do. It isn't. So have fun. You're a screw up. It's great. And yeah, basically it is about the rise of Leximan, or Leximon, and his little weird magic and getting people to, you know, stop looking down on him, basically. The game is 3 acts long, and on your first playthrough it'll take anywhere to 15, 20 hours, something there, probably. And yeah, basically you get to constantly bring up a text box and type things when you're not in combat, and various things will happen. You do not have a list of what all you can type. You just start typing stuff and something maybe happens. For instance, if you type hat, a hat will just suddenly appear. Just because. Same if you type duck. If you type fire, something will explode in front of you. As long as it's flammable, it will be set on fire. And yeah, that is basically the entirety of this game. It's just going around trying to figure out what words you can use and what effect they have. Lots of stuff is external, but there are some that are actually internal to your character. I found one that actually made your character much larger. And when they were larger, they obviously had more strength, so they could do things that they couldn't do otherwise. And stuff like that. So it's a lot of just trying things. It's a lot of trial and error just to figure out what you can do, because none of it is... A few spells get show up in your actual list of, oh, you can type this and it'll do something. It don't tell you what it'll do, but there's only a couple of those that'll show up. There is a whole slew of stuff you can actually write in that will do things. Like, hat doesn't show up. Duck doesn't show up. Both of those are things you can type. And if you're like, oh, does it spawn an actual duck? No, it spawns a little rubber ducky. An evil little rubber ducky, because the rubber duckies are evil in this game.
Wait, hold on. Uh-huh. How are the rubber duckies evil?
I'm not going to explain murder? That. I'm not going to explain that. You have to go buy it.
But the game does?
The game does? Explains. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, Hotshot.
Basically you are seen as a loser at the school, and it's about, you know, some hardships comes to the school and you're one of the people, you rise up. And bad things continue to happen, but you keep rising up. That is the whole thing of this game, is you are a loser and you become the hero-ish, at least. There's a lot of trial and error in this game, and there's a lot of things you can interact with. There's stuff all over the place where you can walk up to it and it's like, oh, here, you can interact, and it tells you a little bit about that item or about these people or your feelings on this, that, or the other. So there's a lot of stuff just to faff about looking at, which is why your first playthrough, if you want to actually see the world, is going to take so long. If you're just like, okay, let me just get from point A to point B, it might take you maybe 6 to 8 hours. But that's not what this game is about. This game is about just going out and looking at things and just seeing what all you can type to figure out what interesting little things you can do. Because some of that is tied to achievements, even. Like there's one giving one of the goblins a hat, and you have to figure out how to do that specifically. And obviously, if you haven't been fiddling around, you may not realize that you can just type hat and spawn a fucking hat out of nowhere. So, that is the name of this game. Just check it and see. Otherwise, when you're actually in combat, which isn't super often, you get, again, a large amount of fragments of words and letters that you drag and drop into a text box, and once you have a word, you can click okay, and whatever you've put in there is what happens. Usually they all have some meaning that can help you. Sometimes they don't help you at all and they make things significantly worse, but a lot of times they just do different ways of helping you with the situation you're in. There are a whole slew of different interactions you can have with various characters, from pissing them off to making them happy with you. So there is replay value for the game. I believe there's actually a couple different endings even, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I really liked the concept behind this. The grabbing and dropping of all the different letters and fragments of words to create words was actually surprisingly fun. I don't have a lot to say about this, because
said a lot, so
yeah. More, I'm going to end up spoiling stories. So.
Well, it's $15. What's your verdict?
I am so for this. You're getting at least $1 an hour of fun, so totally go have fun, folks.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight, that is called Turn to Mine, developed by Philip Lehner, published by Sometimes You, released August 15th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. You're a space mining apprentice with a bright future ahead. However, your Supreme Commander Neek would rather watch a movie than teach you anything. Can you collect crystals and survive on your own? Jacob, I'm going to guess the answer's no. Are you there?
Oh, God. Yep. Sorry, I turned off my mic because Aki was speaking and I didn't even realize that I had left it off. And so here I was talking about my review.
Proud of you.
So, yeah. So you are this space mining, miner who just graduated from whatever place to learn about it. Keep in mind that this is all very lo-fi. Like, there are character designs, but there's no animation to go along with it. And so you're just seeing, as you're going through the conversations, you're just seeing images of the people. Like, no one's actually talking. It's all text-based. And your instructor, he does not give a crap about you. And he's just like, you went to college. You know what you're doing. So I'll just give you these missions and, wake me up when you're done. And you have these little mining drones that you have to guide to pick up these crystals, but there's all sorts of stuff that can prevent it from happening. Whether it is stuff like lasers firing or tiles that you can't flip. And flipping tiles means that you're able to remove the obstacles that could potentially mess everything up for you. And you have to direct your drone. And sometimes the drone is one that is automated. And so you now have to consider where you think the drone is about to go. Like, is it going to go up, down, left, right? That kind of stuff. And you have to, start building these walls that prevent the drone from going into places where it could potentially become harmed. That is a chore in of itself. But then there's ones that you can guide. And by guide, it's really just you click here and the drone takes the fastest point from point A to point, or the fastest route from point A to point B to get there in straight lines. And it's really just puzzle after puzzle after puzzle of guiding these drones, protecting these drones, until they collect all the crystals, and then you move on to the next puzzle. In terms of how the puzzles were built, the storyline's there. It's really not important. And I was just like, whatever about it. The puzzles were interestingly done, I'm not going to lie. They were never difficult enough that I wanted to rage quit the game, but it was enough to keep me on my toes pretty regularly. And honestly, in terms of a puzzle game, I enjoyed it. Like, if you're looking for a plot to go with it, but if you're looking for some good puzzles, this was actually pretty well done, especially for a $10 game. I was pretty surprised.
Oh, well, it is $10. What's your verdict on it?
Yeah, I'd recommend it if you're a big puzzle fan. If not, you might want to wait for a sale, but I thought it was a solid title.
Cool. Works for me.
Is that the end of the show?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So we made it to the end.
Yay.
Woo! Yay.
There was a pause. That's why I wasn't sure if
I was waiting for you to say anything, but
oh
yeah,
anything,
not you, him.
I will say this: the building when I went to go see Borderlands was actually more empty when I left than when I entered.
That's because you left.
No, it's not because I left. There was nobody at the concession stand, There's a distinct possibility I was the only person in the entire building at the time. And I'm not going to lie, they had a ton of Borderlands popcorn tubs, like the ones made out of steel or tin or whatever the hell they're made out of. And I'm not going to lie, I thought about swiping a couple of them, because nobody's there. But at the same time, I was just If I'm going to get pinched for stealing something, it's not going to be a Borderlands popcorn tub. And then also I was like, my wife, if I get home with that, my wife's going to be like, why the hell did you bring this? Where are we going to put it? So, yeah, I decided not to steal it.
Yay.
I was a good person.
We didn't need that story at all.
No, we didn't.
Music this episode, I'm going to play some more Guitar Man because I've been listening to that a lot lately. No one's going to stop me. What do you think of that?
I mean, we're not going to stop you.
I know so, you're not. I mean, you can't.
Well, yeah, you already said
can't stop, won't stop.
What? I mean, well, if you stop recording this episode, then you'll stop.
I mean, if I stop recording.
So, I mean, we could just be here forever?
We could be here forever.
Oh, man, I'm getting booed in the chat. I'm getting booed for not stealing the, for stealing the popcorn tin.
Wow.
Prime would have stole one. Oh, damn. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Bad chat. Naughty, naughty. There you go.
Do you? I'm not going to ask more about that.